My name is Bonnie Evangelista. I work in the acquisition director at Presidio. And I think we had a little bit of a primer on day one on who we are, why we're here. What I really want to impart on you today is maybe open up the thinking, our thinking boxes inside our minds to something new, something different, and maybe inspire you to try something new or different that might make your lives better in your office, because that is how Tradewind started. All we were trying to do when it originated at the JAIC, the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, so our predecessor organization before CDAO was the JAIC. I was part of that organization, and our acquisition authority was given to the JAIC, and that's why the CDAO now has acquisition authority so that we can do the things we're doing today, not just for AI, as was our first mission, but also with data, digital, and analytics as well, data analytics. So our mission has significantly grown. However, I would say the tenets of why we started Tradewind still remain to be true. How do we buy faster? How do we buy better? And how do we buy smarter? Because the world is changing and we need to do something different to change with the world, or else we will get left behind. And when I say we will get left behind, I'm not even talking about the operational imperative. I'm just talking about as contracting and acquisition professionals, we will get left behind. You've already heard a lot of commentary from different perspectives, and you're going to hear a little bit more from industry in the afternoon. In terms of people who do not embrace what is happening in the tech world today are likely going to be, I was going to say obsolete, but I don't want that to be a negative thing. But like they will not be moving in the same direction as the world is moving in. That's just the reality we're in. I'm not trying to trigger you emotionally. I'm trying to talk about facts because not everybody sits in the world that I sit in. Everyone's mission domains are very different. And sometimes your mission does not dictate you do something different. I'm here to tell you, I live and breathe this stuff for almost 2 years now. It will touch you. It may not be today, but it will be at some point. So again, this is why we started Tradewinds. There was some savvy people. I was not involved with them, like my predecessors who kind of originated in starting the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, saw this trend and said, we need to act now. And they started this idea called Tradewinds. I'm not going to get into everything we offer in Tradewinds. We call it a suite of services. It's a place where you can come if you're not familiar or you want to be familiar with what we do, or if you want to try something different. We like to think that we're a pathfinder and we're a place where you can come and find those resources, find those tools, or find those strategies, or even just find like-minded people that you need help with, or some kind of extension where we're modeling or pathfinding again for AI technologies in particular. So I want to start with talking about I call it our premier offering, called the Tradewind Solutions Marketplace. It probably took us a year of getting things wrong before we found something where we really, really got it right. So like even the market, like, because everything we're doing under Tradewinds is a big experiment. Sometimes we're pushing boundaries, like with the marketplace, and then sometimes we're taking some of the plays that we already have in our playbook and we're just maybe reframing it and approaching it a little bit differently. So I want to share with you about the marketplace. Not only is it something you can use today, but maybe it will inspire you to think a little bit differently about how does this apply to me? Maybe the marketplace isn't a good fit for me today, but I could, maybe if I tweaked it and implemented it in a slightly different way, this would really, again, make my life a lot better in my day-to-day job and help support my mission. So before we get started, and I talk about what is the marketplace, I want to address the elephant in the room because what I'm going to talk to you about is you may or may not have implemented an approach like this, or you may or may not be familiar with some. I'm going to talk in a lot of, I'm going to call it little a technical terms. You know, I'm going to talk about contracting authorities and other technical terms of art in the contracting community. And you may or may not be familiar with that, and that's fine. You might be very, very familiar or have been trained to do things a very, very specific way. And I'm going to ask you to put that aside for just an hour and let me tell you what we're doing and how we're thinking about it, because we believe we've found some goodness and we're trying to extend this goodness to the rest of the department. So I'm going to talk about five things that I hear about a lot whenever I talk about the marketplace. The first comment that, thank you, Elena, the five things that we typically hear, and the first one is my favorite, is how this is illegal. But there's other comments that I just want to address up front, and then I want to tell you what we're doing, and then I want you to tell me if you fall in any of these categories, and I want to talk about that, because that is the goal. At being at our level, we do have a slight benefit to how we can communicate things at the OSD level because we recognize the reality you're living in might create a barrier to implementing the approach that we're talking about today. So with that, is it illegal? I want you to know, no one in my office is doing anything illegal. And I want to remind you, for those who have been around for longer than 5 years, do you remember when kind of OTAs, other transaction authorities, kind of got their renaissance in the NDA language they added the follow-on production, and everybody said the same thing about OTAs. If you do this, it's illegal, you're going to jail, and the fear-mongering was just, it was massive. So I just want to remind you, I promise you, we have done our due diligence, and I will walk you through every single authority and help you understand that there is actual statutory authorities that the things that we're doing are directly tied to. So that's thing one. Thing two, when we talk about the marketplace, it's a very different way of thinking about competition. So when people tell me this isn't real competition, what they're really saying is I'm used to CECA, Competition and Contracting Act. I'm used to competing things and giving everybody that fair opportunity. And that's great. But the authorities we're using do not, CECA does not apply. And so we like to say we have competition by statute. So one of the authorities we're going to talk about as an example is a commercial solutions opening. Anyone heard of that before? Have you actually used it? Okay, brilliant. So you would be surprised how many people I ask that question, they've never heard of it. And it's one of the more powerful tools in our toolbox that is highly underutilized. As an example, though, using a CSO is a merit-based competition. And that means you can do business with vendor A on the basis of competition because you, a subject matter expert, has found they have a technical merit to a solution or problem. So we'll get into that. That's just a little preview, though. So when I'm talking about the marketplace and I'm explaining to you and we're talking about competition standards, just remember that CECA does not apply. And so when you browse the marketplace, I'm going to do a demo. And we're going to show you what the marketplace is. Think of like browsing Amazon. And when you're buying sneakers or things for your kids, you're going to see products. And maybe there's 10 sneakers you want to buy. How do you pick sneaker A, B, or C? You just choose, right? And maybe in your mind you say, oh, I want this color, or I need it to be this size, or maybe that's too expensive or something like that. You can have that same logic with the marketplace and still be compliant with the competition standards that the authorities have, that Congress has provided per the statutory authority. So that's thing two. Thing three. Ooh, I love this one. Who is battling culture? And maybe risk averse, I don't know, leaders or teammates and everybody. Yeah. So I won't foot stomp this too much, but I hear this so much, we just have to say it. There's we're not going to get a different answer if we do the same thing over and over again. So again, I'm not saying the marketplace is your answer, but please just remember, like if somebody is pitching something to you, like me or any of the vendors yesterday, just open your mind and ask why or is this true? Like maybe and just try to apply some critical thinking to your mindset. before you close the door and just say no, because I'm not familiar with this. Because again, the world is changing faster than the government can essentially keep up with. So sticking to what we know is not going to bring us to the future we want to be in. So I'll just leave it at that. Ooh. Who has kids? Everybody? Yeah, most. I have two kids, and kids, especially younger kids, are really good at just trying things. Like, they don't care. Does anybody else notice? Like my two-year-old just touches everything. Everything. And at me as the parent, I'm like, don't touch, or I get worried and things like that. He doesn't have that framing, and he just wants to explore. And I would offer you, as I'm talking about the marketplace, to maybe take a moment, remember how your kids love to explore and have that same mindset, again, as I'm talking about things that you may not be familiar with, because I feel like if we adopted or embraced a little bit more the exploration part of our jobs, even if it's like something boring as a contracting strategies can be fun, and I hope the marketplace becomes that for you. And just remember, we all have to start somewhere. Tradewinds started somewhere. Remember I told you we did a year of doing things wrong before we got to the marketplace. So I offer, or I submit to you, that like aiming for perfection, not only is it for amateurs, it's boring. Learning by doing is definitely the state of, and when I talked to Jamie about future of work stuff, that is, I believe, where the future is going. And then for those people who might be thinking, if I'm the first person to take the first step, that's going to put more pressure on me. It's going to put a limelight on me. And maybe that triggers an emotion. Maybe there, and I'm not sure what that is. It could be fear, fear of being challenged by superiors, or fear of being wrong if it doesn't work, or that fear of failure, whatever that emotion is. I would offer that the people who don't take a step, again, are going to be the ones left behind. So instead of being scared of that uncertainty, maybe, that we might be facing at whatever level or complexity that your circumstances provide you, look for the opportunity. Because if you continue to wall yourself off or limit your potential because we are afraid, and I'm going to say we, the collective we, this is not a single person's job, this is our job. We all have to collectively want to make this better. So with that, I'm going to quickly talk about what is the marketplace. We're going to go through those mechanics, and I'm going to convince you, or I'm going to do my best to sell you, no one's breaking the law. This is a better way of doing business in the emerging technology space, because the entire goal of the marketplace is to decrease the gap between the buyer and seller. If you all are like me, you've maybe figured I'm pretty good at seeing patterns. As a contracting, I'm an 1102 by trade. I've been an 1102 for 15 years. I would say I am fluent in acquisition. However, I relate the most to little a procurement and contracting. And when you're that person, you tend to be a bridge of all things. All roads lead to contracts. And don't let whoever you're dealing with, when they're doing their strategies and whatnot, they at some point, whether they want to or not, they have to come to us in contracting to spend the money and to deliver capability. So with that, you start to see patterns, because they all come, you're the bridge. They all have to come to you in some way, shape, or form. And one of the patterns I see is like, if you try to break down what it is to create a business deal in the government, you need money, you need a problem to solve, and then you need a mechanism to execute the contract. The goal of the marketplace can't solve the money problem. It can't solve the, essentially the requirement. I don't like to say requirements, because requirements, again, I don't believe are going to be solving any problems in the future. So we like to focus on how do we solve problems, but I can't solve that for you. That's you as a government buyer, you do that. But I can help you, give you the mechanism to get to the business deal as fast as possible. what we like to call the marketplace an accelerated competitive assessment process. So we have this repository of video pitches that present solutions to problems, very similar to a Shark Tank-like pitch. It's a five-minute video, and they're pitching to no one, right? Like, there's no back-end requirement that these solutions are responding to. We'll get to that in a second. But you, as a government buyer, potentially, can look at that and say, I have a mission need or I have an operational gap, and I want to buy that thing, like, right now, because I have a problem right now that I need to solve. And the marketplace provides a mechanism for you to do business directly with vendor A, B, or C to get that solution to your problem as fast as possible. Go for it.
Just products and solutions, there's no way to buy, like, personnel and services.
It's services and solutions. However, I will tell you, the way we've designed it, it's harder to do services. Yeah. There are, and I'll pull up some. There are a few in there that do, there's one for AI services, as an example. It can be done, but the vendor has to, like, really, it has to be a really good product. That's another thing. We feel like we're setting a bar, and I don't know what that bar is yet, but not everybody gets in. There is an evaluation. So let me just show you what that looks like and what that is. Tradewindai.com. This is our externally facing way we communicate with everybody currently. If you forget everything I tell you today, just remember this website. And a really good reference point, not just for you and your teams, is this tab. Go to Tools and Services and go to Solutions Marketplace. This is also a good point if after this pitch you're like, man, this is the real deal. I want to, you know, maybe I want to invite some industry vendors to the marketplace. This is a great place to point them to as well. When you come here, and by the way, like, just because you're seeing this today, we're constantly iterating. It might be changed a week from now, but hopefully for the change is for the better. It's supposed to, our goal is to make things easier, better information exchanges and whatnot. But currently, as it is, there's some very introductory information. What is the marketplace? And we have a couple videos on there. The videos are mostly for industry. What I think the government is more interested in, these videos right here, as an example, are more like for industry. What makes a good video pitch? Like, make sure, like, people can hear you. You know, little nuances like that, or details like that, where we're trying to communicate with industry in a format that's consumable, very easy to consume for them. That's what those videos are about. What you all are probably more interested, if you're a nerd like me and you want to read the black and white, be like, is this real? Is this legal? Click our SAM.gov announcement. This is what makes the marketplace real. There, we have a general solicitation, not an RFP, not a synopsis or whatever. There is a general solicitation, if it pulls up, that is a long-term open call announcing to industry that we are looking for solutions to problems. And very similar, if you're familiar with broad agency announcements or even the CBER process, right? They have it's not just open topic. They have, like, hey, we're looking for things in these focus areas where we want to invest in or something like that. The marketplace is very, very similar. In the open call, the first thing it addresses is what authorities are we compliant with? And so this general solicitation is compliant with the competition standards for four authorities. All OTA authorities, 4021 and 22 in particular. Who knows what 4021 and 22 are specifically? That's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm the contract nerd. 4021 is for basic and applied research. 4022 is for prototyping and production. Then we are also compliant with broad agency announcement procedures in FAR Part 35. And we are also compliant with the commercial solutions opening procedures given to us by the DFARS deviation. And if you know your history, your contracting history, the CSO was only recently implemented, like within the last year or two, as or included or established into the FAR. And I believe it has gone through rulemaking, which means it will be in the FAR. Like right now, it's a deviation. There's a class deviation signed by Mr. Tenaglia at DPC. And it was in a pilot program for, I think, at least 2 years before it got to this point. So we are taking full advantages of this more recent authority as well. Does anyone know, besides, I know we had some people who are familiar with it. Does anyone know, like, kind of the premise of the CSO? Because this is really the one of the foundations of the marketplace. If anyone familiar with BAAs, broad agency announcements? The CS, so not that many. So BAAs are in the FAR, FAR Part 35. They do a really good job because for basic and applied research, you don't know what you want to buy. Like sometimes you want to explore, and you need to in the FAR they provide procedures for how to do that, and it's more based on what the technical term is, technical merit, rather than evaluating to buy a thing. So you are trying to establish technical merit or some kind of technical credence to exploring something versus buying a thing. So anyone familiar with DIU and familiar with their CSO process? So that I would say the in my community, there is someone named Victor Diehl, and he is considered the father of the CSO. And he helped to implement or to create the pilot program that Congress, you know, put in statute. But at DIU, the CSO originally was a solicitation method or a competition method to award a prototype other transaction agreement. So the CSO, the history of it, the reason I'm giving you this context is because it started because somebody said, I like the way a BAA is modeled, but I don't want to do research. And the FAR specifically says you can only do it for basic and applied research. They said, I want to buy products. I want to buy commercial things, but I want to use the same methodology as the BAA. That's all it is. So the CSO allows you to do more than basic and applied research, but it uses the same foundation of a BAA. So now we have this kind of cool authority where we can not only do FAR and non-FAR-based contracting, because remember, DIU, who I would say was the pathfinder for what the CSO now is, was doing it for non-FAR-based contracting. But somehow along the way, Congress decided, hey, why are we limiting it to just non-FAR-based contracting? So in the statutory authority or the pilot program provided by the NDAA, they allowed both FAR and non-FAR-based contracting, and that is what made it into the DFARS deviation. So if you, and it's actually a really short read, if you actually look up the class deviation, it still hasn't pulled up. So if you go into our announcement, it gives you the number of the class deviation. You can pull it up. I think it's like a 3 or 4 page document, the deviation. So the left and right parameters of how you use the CSO is actually really broad. You have a ton of discretion. Okay, so fortunately, the website started working, and this is the open call. So I want to run through a couple mechanics, and then I'm just going to show you the marketplace, and then we're going to have a conversation. Remember I said, like, all the authorities that we're, this might be hard to read in the back, but just so you know where it is and you can look for it later, I think it's in paragraph 2 right here. We call out, so we're telling industry very openly, hey, there's those 4 authorities that we talked about, and the purpose behind multiple authorities and one general solicitation was to provide maximum flexibility to the government buyer, whether it's the acquisition professional or the contracting professional just executing a contract. And then what else do you need in a solicitation? Well, what's the requirement? So remember, we're not doing requirements, but we do have strategic focus areas right here. By the way, we are not even a year old. It will be a year since we launched this at the end of this month. So when we shaped what the strategic focus areas were, we kind of looked at some national security strategies and stuff and just kind of put something together. The purpose, though, is to continuously iterate. So to your point, by listening to what people are asking for as we're doing sessions like this, or the more we engage at the service level, we continuously will add focus areas, or maybe we'll remove some focus areas. I also envision if this thing is worthy and does live on beyond, you know, more than a year or two, I see multiple portfolios for different mission-specific demands, so to say. But for now, this is what we have. This is what we started with just to get the experiment going. It's very oriented towards CDAO's mission, though. Okay, so we've got our strategic focus areas in the general solicitation, and then we've got Section L, right? Not Section L, but for all of you who you know, can draw, these are the submission instructions. So, and the cool thing about what we're doing is there's no written documentation, no white papers, no technical proposals, no slick sheets or quad charts or whatever. It's a 5-minute video pitch. This is another thing that I really liked. One of the, we really looked at how does, we really wanted to lower the barrier to entry for industry. And honestly, like when we were kind of researching what this should be, we're like, you know, a lot of people communicate in video right now. If you look at social media or how, I would say a lot of digital content right now that's being created, it's video. So we said, let's try that and see if that's a modern medium. I don't know if that's a good term or not, a good way of asking industry to pitch to us. The pitch is very similar to a VC pitch. What is your solution? What problem in the department are you solving? Why should I care that you're solving that problem? So what's the magnitude of solving my problem? And what makes you different? Like, how do you differentiate yourself in the market? What makes you innovative? Whatever. Like, how do we orient ourselves to your product versus someone else's product? That's it. No pricing, nothing like that. So we've got Section L instructions. And then there's some other information, if you want to read this later, that's, again, oriented toward industry, obviously, because it's a general solicitation, that talks about, there's a couple notices in there. But the last key thing that makes this real, makes this legal, is how do we evaluate them? So that's at the very end. And actually, you're going to hear from, I see him in the back, Adam. Adam Rentschler is the CEO and founder of a digital tool called Valid Evaluation. I'm not going to steal his thunder, but this is his rubric where you're using his tool to facilitate the assessment process. So we have a rubric, which I love. It's a rubric. It's not it's not the normal source selection, maybe type criteria. It's something that gets right. It's very succinct, and it's easy for evaluators to assess very quickly. You know, if you think about a number scale, like where are you on a scale? And that evaluation criteria is published in the general solicitation. So this is a long-term open call. There's no end. We're collecting videos all the time. Month one, we said, we were like, man, we're not going to get any videos because nobody knows about this thing. And we're going to have to do some marketing and stuff. Month one, we got 12 videos. And ever since then, the demand has spiked a little bit. There were a few months where we got 70 submissions. So the way we're organized or trying to manage and organize the evaluations are every month we batch the submissions from a single month. And then a peer panel is assembled to watch the videos and then use the rubric. And they go into Adam's tool, Valid Evaluation, and they record their results. Another interesting thing that we're doing, and this, we don't have to debate this today, but just open your minds a little bit. It's a peer panel, and it's made up of industry, academia, and government. Industry and academia? What? Well, guess what? Most of the expertise is in industry and academia. So we've created a way to do our proper OCIs and invite the people with the actual expertise to help us and advise us on what, you know, I'm going to use a cyber term, but we need to know what's vaporware and what's not vaporware. Who, like, who is giving us something real? And again, it's a 5-minute video pitch. You know, you can only say so much. So we're doing the best. We're trying to balance that and making sure that the right expertise is giving us good recommendations and assessments. And that, honestly, is the spirit of the CSO. It is not limited to government expertise. It is technical expertise. Another caveat, all of the videos are non-proprietary. If you read the general solicitation, we say your videos do not include proprietary information. It's meant to be a pitch, a video pitch, like a pitch that you would give at a trade show or something like that. It's not, we don't want the proprietary secret stuff in there. Now, if a vendor does that, we can't monitor or enforce that, but we told them in the general solicitation, hey, don't do that. So that also helps us in that process. So they're not watching anything proprietary. This is not doing any cybersecurity, any supplier vetting, any other types of additional due diligence that you would need for your mission set. This is not doing that. This is, think of a contracting mechanism. I have an opportunity or an ability to buy directly, but maybe before I buy, I need to have a conversation and I want to know, you know, can they get ATO'd? Like, what does that look, you know, and or are they ATO'd? And I want to have that kind of conversation. This gives me the ability to have the conversation, though. If you noticed at the top right, it says account now, but when you go to the website, it's going to say login. Everyone in this room, anyone who has a .mil.gov can register and just be part of the Tradewind platform, whether you use it or not. So if you want to just like be like, oh man, Bonnie's, I want to see if she's telling the truth or if this is real, if this is vaporware, right? You can do this right now if you want, no pressure. And then when you get here, though, to get to the marketplace, there's going to be a little drop down. John's going to talk about ACBOT in the afternoon. I want to show you the marketplace. So this has to be some kind of government, anything government, .mil.gov, whatever. This is the marketplace. So all that, we just spent 45 minutes talking about like how did we get here? Why is this real? Why is this compliant with the law? Why is this different? So this is the opportunity. Every video here, I'm just going to pull up the first one, has gone through the process that we were just talking about. So the key here is the awardable status. So everything in here should be awardable, but just to check and verify, make sure they have that status, because that means they have gone through the peer panel process and they have determined based on that rubric that there is merit. There's merit that this solution should be in a DoD marketplace for AI data and digital services and solutions. By the way, there's a blue sky category. So even though we say data, digital, and AI, we kind of took inspiration from AFWERX and we're like, that's a really good idea. So we have a blue sky category just like SBIRS and open topics, just in case there's something we're not thinking about. Because again, we're in this world that's constantly changing. So there's even things, like we'll even go to that for a second so I can show you a couple examples. So Hermes is actually Donovan. They rebranded Hermes and it's technically Donovan. So me as, and I will tell you, because I've done 3 contracts with Scale for Hermes/Donovan. Am I going to be the person that says they need it? The video says Hermes, but I'm dying Donovan. Or can I just make it use my discretion and say, hey, the only thing that's changing is the name. The product is still exactly the same. I think that, like, there's still validity here. I think that you're going to have to exercise some good business judgment like that with what we're dealing with. So that's a very squishy way of saying, like, we're going to have to figure this out. Don't know. But I'm also like, John's in the back. We take all of this feedback and then we roadmap, like, how do we make this better for the future that we're living in? We've assessed, I might be like off by 10 or so here. We've assessed over 400 videos in almost a year. And there's, I think, 150 in the marketplace, just to give you some context that not everybody gets in. And there is a bar. So even if you see multiple solutions, we're not at the scale yet where there's thousands of videos. It could get to that scale, to your point. But hopefully there's still a bar there to make it easier. And then John, you're going to meet John this afternoon. He's going to talk about ACBOT. But ACBOT is the back-end tech side or backbone of the platform. And so we are constantly finding ways to make the searchability even easier, even better. I even have ideas where you're going to see how ACBOT works later. But like as I'm writing a problem statement in ACBOT, can there be some kind of capability, I don't know if this is AI or not, that is recommending videos? So before I even get to publishing a problem statement, maybe I don't need to publish a problem statement. Maybe there's a video in the marketplace that I could just go watch a video pitch and see if that's a good mechanism. So there's things like that that we're constantly trying to find ways to make that connective tissue and make it easier for the government buyer to not have to deal with that this voluminous data problem that we're all dealing with. What this is not doing, and this is actually, if you have any feedback on this, I'd love it. There is no way for us to track who's awarding. We do have a handbook now that provides a little more guidance to government buyers, because this is a very different model. It's very akin to CBER Phase 3 contracting, if you're familiar with that. And most of, I would say, the contracting community is not familiar with that. Like, they don't know how to scope and negotiate a contractor with one vendor without being in a quote-unquote sole source environment with certified cost and pricing data or something like that. So with that in mind, I do know my office has done at least 12 or 13 awards, and this was just in FY23 alone. So remember, we started collecting videos in November. We made my office made our first award in February, so that's, what, four-ish months after that? Maybe three. And this actually helped us support CDAO kind of during the end of fiscal year crunch. And we did, I would say, a handful. It was 12 or 13 or so. And then I'm aware of five awards in the Air Force. There was one from the Rapid Capabilities Office, and there was four from the Digital Transformation Office. But again, that's all I'm aware of. And we've talked to so many people since then, so I don't even know who else took a step and said, hey, we're going to try this too.